The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining us on Three-Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf, and today I'm pleased to have Debbie Bedell and Andrea Holmes with me, and we are going to be talking about master parenting. And the way they know about master parenting is the way they work with kids. And let me just tell you a little about Debbie and Andrea. They're the founders of Debbie's Creative Child Care, actually started back in 1986 by Debbie as a group family home. Debbie's background in family psychology, coupled with her being a mommy, prompted her to start Debbie's Creative Child Care. And as a child care provider, she's been active in the child care arena for over 20 years. A noted expert in her field, she's a frequent guest speaker, is often interviewed on radio and TV pertaining to child care issues. She served on as a staff trainer for New York State's Child Care Council by conducting workshops for child care teachers and staff. Well, 8 years later, in 1994, Debbie formed a partnership with Andrea Holmes, and Andrea's background is in marketing, so she's been involved in children's education for a number of years. And Andrea has conducted workshops for child care teachers and staff specializing in health and safety, children administration, and parent-teacher communications. She's also designed and implemented children's programs for various camps and resorts, including child care curriculum for children from birth through teens. And they have their first center in Plainview, New York. They have a second location in South Huntington. And they're not only qualified to speak about kids, but also qualified to speak about parenting. So having said all that, I want to welcome you ladies. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Roe.
Well, let me ask you, first of all, you're working with kids all day long. I mean, are we losing the battle in parenting? You know, what's the root of the problem? Is it the kids or is it the parents?
Andrea?
Roe, I think it's such an individual case. There are times I feel like we're losing the battle, but we don't have to. There's so many tools out there, and there's just so many ways that we can actively be involved in working with our children. The biggest issue that Debbie and I see is parents who abdicate their roles or are unclear in what their roles are as parents. Sometimes the parent wants to be the friend. Sometimes the parent wants to be the playmate. And sometimes they're unsure of really what their roles are as parents.
I have to agree, Roe, what Andrea is saying. I think a lot when Andrea and I speak, one of the things I see with regards to parenting is that most parents believe that it's almost equivalent to like a short-term loan. Instead of believing that parenting really is, it's a long-term investment. It doesn't stop when your child reaches 18. It doesn't stop when your child is 2 and beginning to walk. It is something that you're invested in for a lifetime because it's the one thing that actually creates a legacy that continues for another generation. And I think somehow along the way we lost that in society in realizing the importance of family and the nobleness of family too.
You know, it's interesting. As we were doing financial planning for many years, and the reason we got involved in creating sort of three-dimensional wealth, which was not just financial wealth and trying to help individuals, you know, become financially independent, but then it became personal wealth, you know, how to pass on your values, and then social wealth, how to make a difference. But the thing I found as clients came in, and they may have had substantial financial resources, I'd say, let me ask you a question. What is it that you'd like to see? If I could wave the wand, tell me what you'd really like. And what I hear over and over again is, I'd like to see my kids get along when they're older in life. Interesting. And so as I heard that, I said, what is it that we can do as financial planners? And it was not just about the money. It was, what can we do to help them in their parenting in order to help shape behavior, incent behavior, take away one of the real sicknesses that we see out there is what I call affluenza. You know, kids with too much, and we have a tendency, I think, to want to do so much for our kids, and then, you know, we've overdone it.
Well, it's interesting that you say that they come to you at that point when they're looking to do their financial planning about how can I have my children get along. And really, the question is, why wasn't that asked in the very beginning when there's a second sibling that comes along? And I think one of the things that Andrea and I really do see is that parenting is about taking an active role. And somehow, some way, don't you agree, Andrea, that most parents at this point parent by proxy? They look for their schools to parent. They look for the media to parent. They look for their childcare centers to parent. And they somehow believe a falsehood that they are not the captain of
the ship.
And so when somebody gets at that point where the children are in the adulthood and they're looking to still have their children get along, that's a lot harder to do. I know Andrew and I talk and say, if you choose not to parent now when they're 2, 3, 4, and 5, make no mistake that it may seem easy to be the bully parent now because your child is submissive, but when that child hits the adolescent age and 13, 14, and 15, you will have lost the battle. And even if you won it when they were 2, 3, and 4 by that bully behavior, the reality is that you haven't created a child of character. You've created a child that is fearful of authority. And that's not what master parenting is about.
One of the things that we've also done in three-dimensional wealth you might be of interest is we've created curriculum, online on-demand curriculum, for advisors to talk about these things. So we have curriculum on parenting. And one of the things that we've found, even in developing children, is that if you don't develop patterns of savings and thrift when they're 4, 5, 6, and 7, right, when they're 20, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and it's now time to put money in their 401k plan, it's not happening. The other thing I find is when the kids are about 13, 14, 15, 16, if you don't help them develop an outwardly focus and start to develop philanthropy in them, that when they're now, and they may have enough financial resources, and now they're, you know, 60, 4, 5, 6, and 7, they end up with what I call, you know, deep pockets and short arms, and it never gets done. You know, they will say, when I have it, then I'll give it away. Unless you develop those patterns, and when you talk about, you know, developing kids of character, that's the things that I see, and I say, how can we help our clients in developing patterns and savings and thrift and help them in their personal wealth, their financial wealth, and their social wealth and philanthropy? And if we do that, I think we're going to help play a much better role in having kids that, you know, come out the other side with good positive self-image and of people of character.
Zoe, you're so right on this. You know, I don't think it's really ever too young to start teaching your children to be good stewards of their money. I think that allowances are wonderful. I think it's important once a child's old enough to understand about allowance, 3, 4 years old, even, and one of the rules of thumb that we keep in our household is that whatever money comes to you, whether it's a birthday gift, whether it's allowance, you have some to spend, you have some to save, and you have some to give. And the first portion is the part that you give. And that's something with my 10-year-old, she gets $3 a week, and the first portion she has to give. And so you can start to instill just the feeling of giving back to society. It's such an early age. And I also know that children model what they see. And so if you are a person that gives, if your children see that you're a person that gives of your time and gives of your finances, that's something that they're watching and taking with them. They too will be someone, you know, will be someone that gives. We work out. There's so many things or ways that you can participate in the community, in food drives, in coat drives, in those types of things that even young children can participate. My girls love to take their coats and bring it to the coat drives because they know it's something that they gave back to the community.
in our book, Three Dimensional Wealth, we talk about different paradigms. One of them is the paradigm of give first, then save, and then spend what's left over. Mm-hmm. And that's radically different than what a traditional financial planner would say. He'd say, you know, you need to save first and then spend and, you know, give what's left over. So we've turned it around. But what we've developed, and you may have seen it, I think Debbie's seen it, is our sort of three-dimensional wealth piggy bank,
mm-hmm.
which has three chambers, and it says, hey, give first, then save, then spend, you know, what's left over. So you got three different chambers to help show that modeling and do the things that you were talking about, Andrea.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things with that, Roey, in what you were originally talking about, too, about are we losing the battle in parenting, and everything that we're saying thereafter of that really involves the fact that Angie and I know, and her husband and myself and Michael are on the same page in the way we parent. And I go back to establishing businesses. If you don't have a strong mission statement in your business, then your business can go in many different directions. But if you have a strong mission statement and you take that mission statement, and not only do you own it, but you live it, then each employee that comes in mirrors that mission statement, and you will grow a successful business. I think it's the same thing with families. I think we miss the mark when a young couple gets married and they're debating about having children or wanting children and get caught up in the emotion of it instead of realizing it will be the most essential part of the human institution that we have in creating a child. And so if we're going to do that, then I do believe that we need to come together as a husband and wife and come together with a mission statement of how we're going to parent this child. And in that, then, you will have consistency. Because I think one of the things that Andrea and I do see in losing the battle in parenting is the inconsistency between a mother and a father with a child.
Very often when you see inconsistency in parenting, it leads to a child that can be manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to a child that can be aggressive.
Yes.
It's almost better to have two permissive parents or two stronger disciplinarians than to have people that are on different pages.
Absolutely.
Because then, you know, it's almost like good cop, bad cop. The
mm-hmm.
the child feels that they can go to one over the other and kind of manipulate this system.
Mm-hmm.
And it really can be detrimental to their social independence.
Terrific. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more three-dimensional wealth, so stay tuned for more of Master Parenting as well. Thank you.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management, financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analysis, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Welcome back. I have Debbie Bedell and Andrea Holmes with me. And we're talking about master parenting. And one of the things that I think is really important is what you told me once is rules versus relationship.
Yes.
How does that apply?
I think what's so important about that, and it's something that I learned with a lot of battle scars parenting, is that if I don't have a relationship with that child, I cannot establish rules that are so severe that I break the relationship or break the spirit of the child. So what I think is so unique, I have three boys, Roe, and what I found was that each and every one of them has a different personality. So when I had my firstborn, I parented a certain way, and then I had my secondborn, and I parented the same way for the secondborn as I did for the first one. And I realized along the way that second child was bent differently, and the things that worked for the first child did not work for the second child. Although the second child was still submissive, but one of the things that I gleaned was I saw one time at the dinner table that he lost his voice in the dynamic of our family. And I had to pause and realize, and I'm so grateful on that, of having mentors around me, to realize that I needed to establish a relationship different than I did with the firstborn, so that then I could understand how to establish boundaries and rules for this child who really wanted to please me. Then I had my third child, and Andrea knows this, which I always say God has such a sense of humor, because we talk about parenting issues and we speak in the areas, and I had this third child and I thought, he is absolutely the child that I used to roll my eyes on a plane and say, what an indulgent child. And what I gleaned from that with Andrew was the fact that he did not have me for the first 18 months. He was actually in care while Andrew and I were building the second tier of our business. And the caregiver to him constantly indulged him. But what I had said one day when I just was absolutely embarrassed in a restaurant because he was throwing things under the table. He was a disaster. I realized it wasn't him. It was the fact that I was parenting by proxy, and I needed to take hold of the situation, and I needed to establish a relationship with this child so that I could then put in rules that he would be obedient to.
You know, rules without relationship leads to rebellion.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The relationship is what adds the why.
Mm-hmm.
It helps the child to understand what is the why behind the rules.
Mm-hmm.
When they understand the reasons, and because they care for you and respect you,
mm-hmm.
and have a warm, loving, know that this is a trusting place, being
yes.
at home, my
mm-hmm.
parents have my back, my parents mm-hmm. are my advocates,
mm-hmm.
and they learn to respect that, they begin to understand the why behind your rules.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you said is he lost his voice at the table.
Yes.
Or around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, I think the statistics are, that families eat 3 meals a week. So out of, 27 meals or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
3 meals together.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't a lot of time to have a relationship.
No, there's not. And for some reason, we, and I think of our generation, have bought into the fact that our children are still going to be okay, where the basic tenets of parenting are good, and that is, it's not about the, what was that expression, Andrew, the quality of time versus the quantity of time? I want to say it's absolutely both. You need quantity and you need quality, because the little snippets that you will get of quality do not establish a deep-rooted relationship. And that is what brings you into the latter years in parenting. You must have roots in your relationships. I call them with my boys their reference points, so that when there are times when I am completely insane in my parenting, I can come back and say, you know what, you need to forgive me on this. And they have strong reference points because they have roots of a relationship with their mother and their father. So it's easier for them to forgive us, and it's easier for them to understand that sometimes life throws us a curveball. But how we respond to that curveball reflects our character. And I think that's the same that we have to transfer over to our family.
In my mind, I have two things that I'd like to transfer to the kids, and that's roots and wings.
Mm.
And develop the root system and then but be able to send them off and give them wings.
You know, that's so important, Roey, because one of the things that Debbie and I have seen when we have seen parenting and as we're experiencing being parents is sometimes we are successful when we're parenting young children. And we think, oh, we've got it. We figured this out.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, or fortunately, parenting is a variable. It's not something that stays constant.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Debbie shared, she needed to parent one child differently than another. It takes very different types of skills as your children grow, because it's one set of skills to lay those foundations of the love and the protectiveness and the character and the morals. But it takes another set of skills to allow your children to embrace them and take them out into the world and apply them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what happens is we gave a really good start, but we then don't allow our children to take what we've given them and carry it their own and take that next step and use their wings.
Exactly. And what the message then we give our children with that is that we really don't trust you.
Right.
Because truly when our children are younger, as Andrew is saying, there still is a fence around our parenting, in essence. We have a lot more control. Once they start in those teenage years and they start driving and they start going with friends and now they're transferring and they're going to universities, that fence now has a gate that's opened. And do I trust you enough to step out into that world? Or am I hiding behind every tree and bush as you're stepping out in that world? And that's where I think it goes back to what Andrew is saying. It's constantly evolving, but it's also coming back to what is your mission statement? What am I doing here? And for both parents, are we on the same page with this mission statement?
And we are equipped with many different things as people, and it's very important for us to use wisdom when we're looking at each and every child.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie has spoken very much about reference points, and they are key when it comes to giving your child trust and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When, as they grow, we trust them with smaller things, and as they prove themselves trustworthy, then they can have the freedom to be trusted with larger things.
Yes.
So I think it's quite good when your child is pre-adolescent to give them little freedoms so that they can start to learn and embrace their independence so that they will be more equipped when their freedoms get a little larger.
Well, let me ask you about boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are they restrictive or are they liberating?
Yes.
I think yes on both. They're restrictive and they're liberating. Because, in fact, there was a survey that was done for teenagers with regards to how rating their parents, what would be the one thing. It was actually in Jimmy Evans' book, The Seven Secrets of Successful Families, and they said, what was the one thing that you wish your parent would be consistent on? And the overwhelming response was rules. And so I think boundaries are extremely important. I think the most important thing about boundaries is the consistency of those boundaries. Don't you think so, Andrea?
Yes, and I think that boundaries go both ways. There's a certain level, one of the boundaries that we use in our family is just a respect level of how mm-hmm. we speak to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie's children are older than mine, and I was fortunate enough to watch her parents before I had children. And I will never, this day happened probably 15 years ago, and I remember it as if it was yesterday. We were driving in her car, and her boys started to argue. And I remember what our parents would have done, which is, would have said, cut it out back there, stop fighting, or the, you know, the best phrase, which is, don't make me come back there. You know, that's what they used to do. But Debbie did something quite different. She just pulled the vehicle over to the side of the road, and when she pulled over, the boys stopped, and she said, boys, I just want to talk to you. You two are brothers, and you're going to be brothers for life. You're going to go through life together. You're going to have friends that will come and go. But there are certain boundaries that are put on this relationship, and these are what they are. The way that you speak to each other. You are allowed to be angry with each other, but you're not allowed to call each other names. You're allowed to be upset with each other, but you're not allowed to physically hurt each other. And she just went through what the respect levels and the boundaries were for them as siblings. And I just took mental notes because I just thought it was so, so valuable. And today, Debbie has a 22-year-old and a 19-year-old. One of the most precious things to me about her family is how close those boys are and how much they love and respect each other. Mm-hmm. So it's how the siblings relate to each other. And one of the things that I have adopted in my family with watching Debbie as she's parented hers is my children may not speak disrespectfully to me, and in the same way, I won't speak disrespectfully to them.
Right.
That's what I mean about boundaries go both ways.
Yes.
Now, what about agreements? I've heard both of you say that somehow in the relationship, it's good to have agreements.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
Well, that was something, really, that I learned with a lot of battle wounds, because in the midst of my parenting, I also believed, and Michael and I were on the same page as this, is that there were going to be some things where the consequences, there was no grace offered in the consequences. And I have learned through my parenting with my boys that if they know in advance what the consequences are, then we will then understand when they have to be played out, there will be no ill will feelings because they're taking ownership for the consequences for their
right.
behavior.
Debbie, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more Three-Dimensional Wealth. Stay tuned.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analysis, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Rory Diefendorf.
Welcome back. This is More Than Money, because we're talking about one of the hardest jobs today, and it's master parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, I have Debbie Bedell and Andrea Holmes with me. Before our break, ladies, we were talking about having agreements and setting consequences. If you'd follow up on that, because I think there's some points that that you could really extrapolate on. Who wants to open up?
One of the things I love, Roey, about what Debbie was saying about agreements is the fact that your children can really participate in what the boundaries are and what the consequences will be.
Mm-hmm.
When they're old enough, you have already set years worth of setting forth a mission statement, going with your children about these are the values that are important to our family, this is what's okay and what's not okay. And when you get to the point to discuss if these boundaries are crossed, what do you think the consequence should be?
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that it's very, very productive to let your children participate in this, as Debbie has as well, because then they own it.
Mm-hmm.
If they know that you will hear them and you really listen to them, they know what your values are. Many of those values have become theirs as well. And so then they have an opportunity to say, you know what, if this boundary gets crossed, this would be the just or the right thing to be the consequence.
Absolutely. Just what Andrew was saying, that's really about master parenting, that crucial word that she said, when our children begin to own it. That's what we want to do. We want to have them begin to own the boundaries, own the different aspects of character that produce a person that's productive in society. So it's all about all along the years for our children to begin to own it. One of the things that we were previously talking about with regards to these agreements that we have done in our family is, and I learned this from a wonderful, wonderful family workshop many moons ago, and that was have a safe place in your house so that when your child falls short or fails or is in a situation where they're ashamed of, that they are able to come to a place where there's no judgment. Where there is an unconditional love and a place that they can be heard. And I think that was so crucial for me in understanding that, because it didn't mean that I was going to let the consequence slide. It meant that there was going to be a place, a safe haven, and we created a family table for that, where our boys would be able to come home and share something that was devastating. And in the course of parenting, there have been times when we have been at that table, and one of the rules at that table states that you may not lose your temper, you may not say I told you so, but that it's a place of unconditional love. What I have previously seen from that is that in society, if we don't have a safe haven for our children that way, they will gravitate towards either peers, gangs, places where they need to be validated, where they feel that they can come and express themselves in the midst of a failure. And for me, the most important thing in parenting was sharing with my children, you will fail. But what you need to do is you need to be honest with us, and you need to share that truth so that we then can work together as a family. Doesn't mean that the consequences will not be there, but it does mean that we're going to walk side by side with them to go through those consequences.
As human beings, we're all created with this need for acceptance and
yes.
belonging. And the best place for your child to feel accepted and to belong to is in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And that should always be the place. Very early on with my children, one of the things my husband and I have done is just use the phrasing, the wording, in our family. In our family, we speak kindly to each other.
Mm-hmm.
In our family, we trust each other. And it really empowers that little one to know, I belong. I'm part of this family.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps along, especially during the adolescence and teen years where things are so bumpy, they know that there's always a place that they're accepted and that they belong.
Yes.
Now, you might be the exception to the rule, because if you look at it, I mean, mm-hmm. the nuclear families are all broken. I mean, 50% mm-hmm. of the homes are split. You've got extended families that are mm-hmm. all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
A normal family is dysfunctional at best.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what you're talking about is the exception to the rule. Am I right, or is it possible? I mean, what you're saying sounds like utopia.
Well, it's really not utopia, and I'm sure Andrea does not have her pearls on, and I do not have my pearls on, although I did love Leave It to Beaver growing up. But here's the reality. That's not the real world. What is the real world, though, is that we will have problems. We will have divorce. We will have blended families. But that doesn't change the core of character. That doesn't change the core of what is right and what is wrong. There are absolutes in parenting, whether you're a blended family, a single parent, or a family that is whole. The question really comes to is, for a single family, for a parent, a mother or father that's doing it by themselves, you have to have a lot of empathy for that person, because they don't have another spouse to tag team off of. They don't have a support system. So the first thing that I would say to that single parent is you must have a support system. And even in that support system, and even when you're tired, you cannot move your boundary. You cannot abdicate your role as a parent. So I think that's crucial.
I was going to say the toughest thing I think that I found is to be consistent. You know, and that, I think, can really turn into problems.
Well, Andrea and I see that daily. You know, a parent comes into our program and they have a rule with their child. When they pick up their child and they say to their child, we're going to go now. And the child whines, they don't want to go. No, we're going to go now. And the child is whining and whining. And then what happens is that they finally give in to the child. That inconsistency is actually going to breed landmines later on, because your no has to be no and your yes has to be yes. And if you're going to be in the gray area, then you need to communicate that to your child. I'm not sure yet what my answer is on this, but I need 5 minutes or I need 2 minutes. You always have to be in control, even when you're not sure of what you're going to do or say. Communicate that back to the child, but don't abdicate by saying nothing, because if you say nothing, then it leads for the child to be able to perceive in their mind, ooh, am I winning this or am I not winning this? So let me whine a little bit more.
You know, the motivator for consistency is what happens when you're inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And inconsistency in parenting is one of the most difficult things for a child to absorb, because it really eats at a child's insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
They innately know that you are the authority
in the family. And when you're inconsistent and that child doesn't know where they stand,
yes.
if they don't know where they stand in your home, they don't know where they stand in life.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know where they stand as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents, we have been given such an incredible gift when we have been blessed with children that it is prime for us to understand that it is our job and it is our responsibility to be consistent. Now, we know that we're human, and we know that sometimes we're going to fail. Sometimes we are tired, and sometimes we make mistakes. But Debbie mentioned many times reference points. If your overall reference point is that you are consistent, your child will understand in the few times that you fail that you can say, you know what, I was not consistent in this particular time. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. This is what I should have done. You can renegotiate with your child.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You can go back and say, this is what I've done that I should not have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because your child's going to have the overall reference point.
Absolutely.
Let me shift gears for a second. Talk about punishment versus discipline. I have the money section of the USA Today for today. And the headlines is, hit with the question, were you spanked? CEO said yes. And it says, the debate over whether CEOs are born or made remains unresolved. There's one thing they overwhelmingly have in common. As children, they were spanked. And, you know, it goes on to say here, is there some connection between corporal punishment and corporate leadership? Most CEOs believe spanking played little or no role in their success, but usually could cite important lessons learned. I'm disciplined, detailed, and organized. So what I'd like to do is, after this break, I'd like to come back and talk about punishment versus discipline and how that applies and what your thoughts are. So if you'd stay tuned, we'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth. So hang on.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
Investment management is more than picking a good stock. In fact, a good company may not be a good investment. With today's complex financial products, it becomes critical to employ a true professional on your team. That's where the members of IMCA, the Investment Management Consultants Association, comes in. These professionals have proven themselves to be the best in the business. So when looking to get a second opinion on your portfolio, look for individuals with a CIMA designation. That's Certified Investment Management Analysis, a cut above the rest. Brought to you by the NYC chapter of IMCA.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk, heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
With every choice we make, there's a consequence. Good ones and bad ones. Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life with Lisa J. Whaley, deals with the importance of understanding and being comfortable with the consequences of personal and professional choices we make. More than ever, professionals have the tools and technology, cell phones, emails, Blackberries, that allow them to be accessible 24/7 and always on. The lines between work and life are more blurred than ever. it's difficult to determine where one ends and the other begins. Each week on Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life, Lisa and her expert guests discuss topics to assist professionals as they explore the dynamics of their individual life-work equation and begin the process of implementing positive and meaningful changes that result in leading fulfilling personal and professional lives based on your own definition of success. Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life with Lisa J. Whaley, broadcast each Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Choices, Get It Right with Work and Life. Have the life and career that you've always dreamed of with the power of choice.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
We're talking about master parenting, and I have Debbie Bedell and Andrea Holmes with me, and they are the founders of Debbie's Creative Childcare. One of the things I love is your philosophy, and it says, we truly believe that what we do leaves fingerprints all over society. Mm-hmm. Children of character, children who are validated, children who feel connected are what we're all about. Well, it's a good thing that we've got people like you. Just before our break, we were talking about punishment versus discipline. I was referring to this article in the USA Today about CEOs. And it says, it comes to no surprise that almost every CEO was spanked. And they found out that CEOs had tough disciplinaries as parents. And they said, tough love is better than soft love. And they recommended positive reinforcement backed up by consequences. This is just what you were saying, and do you want to follow up on any of that?
Well, I think what Andrew was saying is that's what we're talking about. We're talking about, in essence, tough love, and at the same time, we're talking about the fact that we are nurturing and loving to our children, but that there are strong boundaries. When we talk about punishment and discipline, it's something that I see a lot of, Roe, being blurred. I think there's two distinctive things here. Punishment is something that's an immediate. Your child runs into the street. Your child is going to touch an open flame. That's an immediate punishment because you are literally wanting to stop the behavior of that child immediately before the consequences, which are so severe that you see a car coming down the road, the hand going on fire. But there's a second component here that somehow I believe we've missed, and that is about discipline. Somehow discipline, I know for our generation, has been something that's been a negative. And yet, I truly believe that disciplined actually is designed to bring out the best in our child. It's something where, and this is where it's master parenting, and this is where it has to be consistent. You want to set up a place where your child can develop a healthy habit and or where your child can actually begin to own values and character. And it may mean along the way that you're going to discipline this child to that place. More importantly with that discipline is you're not going to break the spirit of the child. You're not going to bully the child, be disrespectful to the child, but you're going to discipline them along the way so that you're going to bring out the best in them so that when they look back, they can see the success of the discipline. If the discipline is mixed with punishment, severe punishment, you may create a child that will be obedient in the midst of that discipline, but make no mistake, they will be rebellious when they have a voice.
I love what Debbie said, that discipline has a negative connotation, and it really, really shouldn't, because very often putting in a discipline when you're looking to change a child's behavior really can be about positive reinforcement.
Yes.
With young children, I know something that just is so simple, that works so incredibly well for my oldest child, which was a positive behavior chart. And she went through that stage. I don't like the term terrible twos, but she went through that stage of just really defying and having a tough time and not listening. And we were working on listening the first time, and it was about listening the fifth time. And I found myself really just feeling exasperated. And I thought, we need to work on changing this child's behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we went to the store, and I said, guess what we're going to do? We are going to start Chelsea's good behavior chart. And we picked out the color poster board and the color markers and her favorite stickers. And again, this was for a young child, but when you instill it when they're young, it really does last for when they're older. We looked at all the behaviors that were important. One was listening the first time, brushing her teeth, getting dressed. So many parents tell Debbie and I about nightmare times that they have in the morning trying to get their children out of the house to get ready for work. He wouldn't get dressed. He was kicking and screaming. Positive reinforcement,
mm-hmm.
Just absolutely turned my household around.
Mm-hmm.
Children need immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm.
So we
I still love to get that gold star, you know.
It's incredible.
Everybody wants to be validated. Everybody needs that.
Right. It is, and it works. It sounds so simple, but
mm-hmm.
when we did it and we broke it down to the small tasks, within days, I had my child running to brush her teeth so that she would get that Hello Kitty sticker that she knew was leading to an ice cream sundae at the end of the week.
Mm.
So
mm.
it just is so, you absolutely, positive reinforcement plays such a big role when it comes to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'll hear oftentimes is parents talking about the kids, I can't communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do it. Effective tools that you have, what would you suggest?
Well, I think the first statement when you say, when a parent says, I can't communicate with him, and I think to myself, if you were negotiating a deal on your home or negotiating for a car or negotiating for something that you were passionate about, you would find a way to communicate. And so I think the first and foremost thing is to realize that you need to be passionate mm-hmm. about your role as a parent in maintaining lines of communication. And there are going to be times when I share with friends, when my boys were going through their teenage years, I used to call them the Encino Cave years, because sometimes their communications were just grunts. But at least I had them grunt during the day. And so I never abdicated my role to communicate, and I never abdicated again the boundary of respect. If I'm speaking to you, I expect you to answer me. And one of the things that I learned too, Roy, was that in this mist of communication, it is vital to give your children a voice. Let me give you, for instance, my children are engaged with playing a game, and I've cooked a dinner, and I've worked all day, and I've cooked dinner, and dinner needs to be served now because otherwise it's going to be cold. So I would rally everybody to the table. And if my boys were in the midst of their game, I would say to them, I'm so sorry, but you need to come down now and eat. In the beginning, they did that. And then one time at the dinner table, one of my sons said, you know what, it would be so good is if you could just tell us within 5 to 10 minutes we're going to be eating dinner so that we could close down what we were doing. And I thought, you know what, that is absolutely fabulous. One, that they were able to communicate that to both my husband and I without any fear. And two, what was I going to do with that now? Because if I maintain that authoritative role of, well, I'm so sorry, dinner is ready and you will come when I call you, I've lost out on communicating with my child. So what I have done is not only respect that, but I've put it to practice. On the other half of that is if I do say, okay, in 10 minutes, and after 10 minutes they're not at the table, then I can talk about how I feel when they haven't respected.
You know, I would say two things about communication, and one is starting early.
Mm-hmm.
We sit around our dinner table, and we each share about our days. You know, just like from the movie, what are your highs, what are your lows? What was the best part of your day? And then we love to hear my four-year-old just mm-hmm. sharing about what she did that day, so that mm-hmm. communication and telling about their day becomes part of what we do. And what's so sweet is very often my children get home before I do, my husband will be home prior to, and I walk into the door, and when my little one says to me, how was your day? You know, we have set this in motion that we all communicate and we want to speak with each other.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of, which is so important and we miss, is the listening.
Mm-hmm.
Do your children feel heard?
Mm-hmm.
Are you waiting to say what you want to say, or are you participating? And if for some reason your children, you don't understand what your children are saying, do you clarify it? Do you try to repeat back to them what they said so that you can understand it? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's when they're going through, especially the teenage years, there's so much going on inside of them that is somewhat difficult to communicate, that mm-hmm. you helping them to clarify can be huge.
Absolutely.
Give them security.
Absolutely. And one of the things, another part of communication, which I think we miss sometimes, is the nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. And if we are saying to our children that they are the most important things to us and they are a blessing to us and we want to be there for them, but we're missing their soccer games, we're not showing up at back-to-school night, we're not keeping them first and foremost as a priority, they hear that loud and clear. So the nonverbal that we set up in our family and the dynamics that we set up on our family is just as loud as when we are communicating verbally with our children.
As parents, we all screw up.
Yes.
Your thoughts on about forgiving yourself, what would you say?
Well, it's so interesting because when my children were young, I thought, this is great. I'm hitting a home run here. And then as they got older, I realized that I was walking around with a lot of war wounds. And what I needed to do is I needed to forgive myself. And I needed, more importantly, to go to my children and seek their forgiveness on areas where I parented and I parented inappropriately. And I couldn't just say to seek that forgiveness. I needed for them to be able to say, I forgive you. That would be very healing, not just for myself, but for them too. The second thing that I want to share about is that in the midst of the forgiveness, we need to never take away the moral fiber of the family. And with that then, if you have been doing something that you realize is wrong, you cannot go back and rip it out of the hands of your child. What you need to do is go back, explain why you're going to change gears, listen to what they're saying, and at the same time, gracefully begin to change the model.
Okay. Debbie, Andrea, I want to thank you. Our time is up, and I've really enjoyed it, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed it. I invite you to listen in next week at the same time for more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rowie. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Rowie Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.